three major business deals. Think chips, drugs, and fingerprints.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Welcome to the Morning Open, our look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. This morning's business news brought to you by the letters M and A, mergers and acquisitions. More on that in a moment. First, where's Wall Street? Not doing much. The Dow Industrials are down 8 points. That's less than a tenth of a percent at 10,142. NASDAQ and S&P 500 both down just a tiny fraction of a percent. Shares of the American biotech firm Genzyme are down about 0.4%. Genzyme has rejected the most recent takeover offer from the big French drug company, Sanofi Aventis. Intel is, Genzyme, I should say, is up 4%. After that move, Intel stock is down 0.5%. The giant computer chip maker buying part of the German chip firm Infineon for $1.4 billion. Okay, hope I got that straight. Now let's say good morning to senior U.S. economist Julia Coronado at BNP Paribas. She joins us every Monday from New York. Hello, Julia.
Good morning.
So I mentioned Intel buying part of this German chip maker, the French takeover offer for Genzyme. Also 3M buying a company known for fingerprint identification. Julia, we've all heard about deals that don't work. What makes a good merger or acquisition?
Well, right now in the environment we're in, it's an extremely competitive environment with the economy recovering at a pretty lackluster pace. So companies are really focused on gaining market share, maintaining market share, looking for the areas that will be growth areas of the future. Hopefully that bodes well for the wave of mergers and acquisitions we're in. That contrasts with mergers and acquisitions that we see in boom times, where sometimes people just extrapolate those boom times forward and expect much more than is realistic from a merger. So hopefully this much more conservative approach will bode well for these deals.
Mm-hmm. And finally, Julia, the government said this morning both personal income and spending were up a little bit in July. Is that a hopeful sign?
I wouldn't say it's terribly hopeful. I think what the report reinforces is the dynamic we've been in, which is that, you know, consumers are spending, but they're spending very conservatively. They're still saving at a very high rate. They're allocating their dollars very cautiously. So it sort of confirms what we've been in, which is slow growth. So it's not that hopeful in the sense that we're not seeing spending that's strong enough to give businesses the confidence to run out and hire a whole new wave of workers.
Okay. Oh, well. Senior U.S. economist Julia Coronado at BNP Paribas. Thanks a lot.
My pleasure.
So as Julia just said, consumers don't seem to be the answer, at least yet, for the economy. The government has tried stimulus spending. The Federal Reserve has lowered interest rates. Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports now that Congress could look next at the tax code.
A presidential advisory board has suggested some tax changes that could help the economy. The board didn't make any recommendations, but the head of the review committee, former Reagan economic advisor Martin Feldstein, was clear about what he thought is wrong.
The United States has a very high corporate tax rate, higher than any other industrial country than Japan.
Are corporate taxes keeping businesses from creating jobs? Stephen Enten heads a think tank on the economics of taxation. He says everything else the government's tried has been a waste.
If instead of spending all that money, they had cut the corporate income tax, renewed the Bush tax cuts, particularly the two top rates that fall on the people who are doing the bulk of small business investment, then you would have seen more investment by the private sector,
resulting, he says, in more jobs. But economist Mark Zandi of Moody's Analytics says there's a faster way. Keep and expand a tax credit for businesses that hire the unemployed.
Make it more lucrative, bigger, and publicize it much better than they have the current one.
Zandi says the recovery is too fragile to allow the Bush income tax cuts to expire. He'd extend the cuts, even for the wealthy, until the economy gets going again. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com.
You know, some of the biggest victims of this recession have turned out to be state governments. Jobs have been shed, spending has declined, and state tax coffers have just emptied out. Well, there's some new data out today that researchers say shows the beginning of a turnaround. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joins us now live from our New York bureau with more on that. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, Bill.
So we know states pay for cops in schools. What does this new data show about state budgets?
Well, according to the Rockefeller Institute of Government at the State University of New York, overall state tax revenues are up about 2% in the second quarter of 2010 versus the same period last year. And that is the second quarter in a row of increased revenues after five straight quarters of declines. And remember, Bill, it was just a few weeks ago that Congress passed that $26 billion package of aid for state governments, which gives you some idea of just how concerned lawmakers in Washington are about a wave of state layoffs if tax revenues were to fall short.
Right. Well, I'm glad to hear it, Jeremy, that there's been an increase in tax revenues. Why is that?
Well, one reason is last year was so bad that it's easy to look good in comparison.
Right.
But Robert Ward, who is the deputy director of the Rockefeller Institute, says there are other reasons, too.
Sales taxes were very strong in the second quarter of 2010, and that partly reflects some tax increases that states enacted. There were also some income tax increases in a few of the states.
So tax increases were a part of it, Bill. The other part, he says, is a national economic picture that has gotten better in the last year, and he says that's the only way to explain the fact that 30 out of the 50 states reported increased tax revenues.
Okay, that's Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joining us live from our bureau in New York City. Jeremy, thank you.
You're welcome, Bill.
And finally, you're walking past a street musician. The guy sounds really good, but you don't have any change to throw into his guitar case. Well, you no longer have that excuse. The British bank Barclays has tricked out the guitar of a London busker with what it calls contactless technology. So passersby can just wave a credit card over the guitar to make a donation. Catchphrase of this recession, brother, can you spare a swipe? This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.